So the question is asked, can bhakti, like other forms of yoga, can bhakti be performed passively, or does it always have to be active service? We always see, what we generally see is devotees running all around, dancing in kirtan and doing sankirtan and selling books and all kinds of things. But other yogas, pretty much all of the yogas, you just sit down and meditate. Ultimately, that's where they have what you have to do. So is bhakti only mean active service? So if we look a little closely at Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we've been doing, we can see there's so many forms of bhakti which are doing nothing. Another way we can ask the question, does bhakti yoga, it means doing, or it means doing things, or does it also include doing nothing? So bhakti also includes doing nothing. And we gave so many examples of doing nothing. Nirmalya Ashwada, tasting the Nirmalya. Wearing a garland, this is bhakti. And the very interesting one, which is a very deep one on the heart level, which is totally imperceptible, and even a limb of bhakti that you do without your active senses and without your working senses. And it's called number 44, limb of bhakti, tat kripa ikshanam. Tat kripa ikshanam. Seeing that mercy in your life, seeing the grace of God and Guru in your life, this is one bhakti anga. Amazing. And then he cites a verse to, famous verse from Brahma Stuti, tate nukampam shushumikshamano punjana evatman kritam vipakam ridvagvapubir viridan namaste jiveta yo mukti sade pade sadaya bhak. Jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. This is a famous verse where so many things happen to me in my life due to my krita, my vipakam, kritam vipakam, my bad and sinful activities. In my last life, I'm suffering. In this life, or even in this life, I'm suffering for my sins. So I should see that as anukampa. This is all Krishna's mercy. Tate nukampam, anukampa, shushumikshamano. This is the mercy of Krishna. This is tat kripa ikshanam. I'm seeing all these setbacks and all these diseases and sufferings that I'm presently experiencing, or I will experience in the future as a devotee. I'm seeing it as the mercy of Krishna. This is a limb of bhakti. And of the 64 limbs, as I mentioned, many, many of them, maybe 20 of them, are totally passive. This one doesn't include the knowledge-acquiring senses of Sri Murti Darshanam. One limb of bhakti is called Sri Murti Darshanam. Just with your working senses of your eyes to take darshan of Krishna Murti, Govindaji. But this one is just, you close your eyes and you just feel, oh Krishna, you're so kind, you're so merciful. That's very nice. Very devotional and very internal and very individual and doesn't require anybody else, because Krishna's in the heart of everyone and every devotee has his own perception of Krishna in his or her heart. So I rather like that one. This is number 44. And then you missed one point, but because you're a teacher and of these subjects and a student also. Number 43, I didn't remember this point, but it's very significant for anyone who's taking diksha. Number 43 of the 64 limbs of devotion, this is a repeat. So for your benefit, out of my respect for you, I wanted to share this point, which I had forgotten. And it's significant, especially when preaching to new people, or to remember that. In Rupa Goswami's own words, which is repeated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Madhya Lila, he says, number 43 limb of devotion is Atta Shravanam. Shravanam. Everyone knows Prahlad Maharaj, 7th Canto Bhagavatam, discussing the Vishnu Bhakti, Vishnu Upasanam, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu Smaranam. Rupa Goswami is mentioning, now remember, this is all in the category of Vaidhi Sadhana. Verse 1 through 270 of 112, Nectar Devotion Part 1, Chapter 2, is all about Vaidhi Sadhana. And verse 270 to 309 is Raghunuga Sadhana. So this is for everyone, all the devotees, the Raghunuga Bhaktas and the Vaidhi Sadhakas. So he says, hearing. And then he says, Shravanam Nam Charita Gunadinam Shuti Shutir Bhavet. Beginning with hearing Krishna's name, qualities, and pastimes. And then he gives subsequent verses. One by one. First he talks about hearing Krishna's name. And what is the value? And he cites a Purana, Garuda Purana. Then he talks about hearing Krishna's Leela, Charitra. Then he cites a verse from 4th Canto Bhagavatam. That he's never touched by, if anyone hears Krishna's Leela, he's never touched by hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation, or infatuation. That's the benefit. And Jiva Goswami comments and says, it seems like the descriptions, when one is hearing the descriptions of Krishna Leela, it sounds like words from the mouth of the saint, but actually it's nectar. It's nectar, amritam. It's expressive of itself. The nectar is expressing itself through the medium of the mouth of the saint. And as such, that nectar is self-illuminous. And it's just using the mouth of the saint to reveal itself. It seems like words, but it's a personal form of transcendental nectar. So the words from the saints, oh, he's speaking akshar. Akshar means syllables and words. Everyone's speaking. So much gramikata, nashunive, we should not hear. But Jiva Goswami says it's self-luminous nectar. And because it's nectar, it gives you immortality. And when you're in the platform of immortality or eternal life, there's no more hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation, and desire. So back to the beginning where he says, Shravanam. Shravanam, hearing the name. So what example does he give about hearing the name? He doesn't talk about the holy name of Krishna, which he does in other places. He talks about Diksha mantras. Very significant. In other words, when you take Diksha and receive Gopal mantra from Guru, what happens? Samsar sarp dashta nashta chastaika beshjajam. Krishneti Vaishnavam mantram shutva mukta bhaven. When one hears the Krishna mantra, because the Vaishnava mantra, the Vaishnava Diksha mantra, as we mentioned, it's a review, everyone heard. The Vaishnava mantra, for any Vaishnava who takes Diksha is Gopal mantra. We're Vaishnavas, we receive Gopal mantra. This is in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And of course, gloriously proclaimed in Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which is number 67 of the 108 Upanishads, a Mukhi Upanishad. So here, this is, when we talk about Shravanam, when it talks about Shravanam, this is a limb of devotion, Shravanam. So what does it mean, Shravanam? If you're practicing Shravanam, it means you take Diksha. And what's the primary Diksha? What's the most important Shravanam you have to hear? It's a Gopal mantra from the Guru. Krishna Vaishnava mantra. Because the Krishna mantra, or the Krishna, in other words, we can say Krishna mantra, we can say Gopal mantra, we can say Krishna Vaishnava mantra, because they're all the same and equal, okay? Most of the time, everywhere it says Krishna mantra. When Lord Chaitanya is teaching these same principles to Sanatana Goswami, in Madhya Lila, he says Krishna mantra, Krishna mantra samsara mochan, Krishna nam prema Nobyate or something. It says, when one takes a Krishna mantra or Diksha mantra, then samsara mochan. And he gets free. Mochan means mukti, free from samsara. And when he, Krishna nam means the holy name of Krishna, Jaya Krishna Murari, Jaya Gopal Vanamali, and all the various names Lord Chaitanya chanted in Sankirtan, which you can read in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Jaya Krishna Murari, Gopal Vanamali, Jaya Krishna Murari Govinda Vanamali. It seems that he likes very much the name Vanamali, because I read the entire Chaitanya Bhagavat. I gave class on all the verses, and there are about 8 different times describing the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya. Did I make a post about this? I think I made a post about this also. And nowhere he's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, by the way. But when he gave instruction, he told the grihastas, listen, when you all get together, it says karatal. He said you should clap your hands together in your house and you should sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So there's his shiksha, then there's his achar. So when he's giving shiksha, Lord Chaitanya is acting as guru. And he's telling the grihastas, you chant the Hare Krishna mantra. When he himself is doing kirtan, he's relishing the Mahabhava Radharani. So there's nanokaran and nanosharan. So that's why the guru is required, otherwise people imitate Lord Chaitanya, what he does in anukaran, and that's aparad, and that will be nishval. So we have to know when to follow Lord Chaitanya's shiksha, that's called anusharan, and when to worship his ecstasies and his different moods of Mahabhav and Gambhira Leela and other places. Yare deke tare ka Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Guru Hanitare Desh. Go everywhere and tell people about Krishna. He doesn't say go everywhere and tell people about Vanamali or Krishna Murari. So Krishna, when he's in South India and everyone's hearing him, he's South India, he's traveling down the road. He's not with his Antaranga Bhaktas. When he's with the general class, conditioned souls or anyone who may benefit and attain prema by seeing him or hearing his prema nam, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then because they like Ram so much, everyone likes Ram Chandra down all South India, all of India in general, Ram, 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 Maryada Purushottam, Ram. So I love Krishna, so you should hear this name also, because this is the number one, all and everything is in this name. Your Ram, 3 names of your Ram equals 1 name of our Krishna. But just for equal time, I'll chant Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshama. Ram is my protector. Krishna, Krishna. But when he's in Navadvip Mandal with his Antaranga Bhaktas and his internal, eternal associates, then there's no Krishna, Krishna. There's no Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And there's no Rama Raghava. Jaya Krishna Marari, Govinda Manavali, Jaya Gopala Marari. You know, it's very nice. I like these. Nam Sankirtan. So this is the point that when we take Diksha, Samsara Sarp Dashta Nashta, the snake, the teeth of the snake of Samsara are broken, destroyed. So Diksha gives us Samsara. Diksha gives us liberation from Samsara. Oh, you got Diksha, but you're still alive. Golok Neprapti. I mean, you haven't attained to Golok. You're still here going to work, I'm still here going to work. So what's the difference? You took the Diksha, I didn't take the Diksha, I'm happy. Are you happy? You look miserable. Yeah, I'm miserable. But I didn't take Diksha, I'm happy. And you took Diksha and you're miserable. Yeah, but I'll be happy soon. Because I've taken Diksha and now I realize what a dog I am and how contaminated and all this filth has come out of me, and I'm a little bit ashamed and embarrassed and feeling very humble and not feeling very good about my residual, whatever residual karmas I have not been liberated from. So the liberation is not visible. You're still in the world, but you're not of the world, as Jesus said. You're in the world like everyone else, but you're liberated because now you'll attain prema. And you'll live forevermore in the loving embrace of Krishna, this nitya seva. Whereas your happy friend will have an unhappy end and take birth again and try to be happy again. But diksha means liberation, if not today, tomorrow. But without diksha means no liberation, neither today, nor tomorrow, nor never. And you're miserable now because, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, so many things coming now. First, you get liberated from all your Prarabdha. The first mukti is Prarabdha mukti. Prarabdha karma mukti and diksha. Now, Aparabdha, Kutam and Bijam. So now we come to Bhava, then Prema, then Safo Jaga. Completely clean. Then Krishna Prapti. Even at Bhava, Jiva Goswami says when one attains Bhava Bhakti, he attains the Adhikar for Krishna Darshan. It's not synonymous, but he attains the Adhikar. Now he's eligible for Krishna Darshan, the level of Bhava. So now, I'll finish this one more, that number 45. And this is very significant also because there's several like this, but this is all related to the one principle. This is number 45. Bhakti Anga number 45. Smriti. Smriti means remembrance. Smaran or Smriti. And he says, first he says, Rupa Goswami Pad says Smriti, then he says, Kata Chin Manasa Sambandha Smriti Smriti Ruchyate. It's a very nice Sanskrit. The translation is remembrance, association of the mind with Bhagavan by whatsoever way is called remembrance. Katan, it says katan, not kata. Katan chinmanasa. Chinmanasa. So the man, the mind, chinmanasa, sambandha, to have a relationship, fixing a relationship of the mind and consciousness with remembrance of the Lord, uchite. Relationship, connecting the mind and consciousness with Krishna, Krishna Kata, Krishna Nam, etc. That's 44. So that's another example of passive devotional service. What are you doing? I'm doing nothing. It looks like you're just sitting there doing nothing. No, I'm doing smriti. Remembrance. Now the last one in relation to that. Now that's, so remembrance means smaran. Smaran has five different levels. Smaran, dharana, dhyanam, jivana smriti, samadhi. It's like that for the yogis, it's like that for the gyanis, it's like that for the bhaktas. The bhaktas, we also do dhyan. And then it ends in samadhi. And our samadhi is darshan of Krishna and the nitya prem seva of Krishna. Now this is very, these are two most crucial limbs of bhakti bhajan, which are completely passive. Your working senses are inert, and your active senses are inert, and only your sixth sense is working, your mind. And this is the topmost form. And it's interesting, in a whole progression of 64 limbs, these are, one of the last limbs are this. So we heard Smaran, this, remember, verse 1, part 1, chapter 2, verse 1 to 270 is all Vaidhi Sadhana. These limbs of bhakti apply equally to the Vaidhi Sadhaka and equally to the Raghunuga Sadhaka. So people say, oh, you know, Smaranga Bhajan, Smaranga Bhajan or Dhyanam, that's not for us. We're Vaidhi Sadhakas. That's for Raghunuga Bhaktas. What are you talking about, Smaran? Just do your service, Prabhu. This is Vaidhi Sadhana to do Smaran. This is Vaidhi Sadhana to do meditation. Radha Govinda's lotus feet and form meditation. So he says dhyanam. Then what is what is dhyanam? This is number 46. Dhyanam, meditation. Meditation is for everyone. Smaran is for every bhakta. And meditation is for every bhakta. Dhyanam rupa guna krita sevara. Shushtu chintanam. Chintana means you should think and contemplate, meditate and remember. What are the things we should do? Dhyana, what should we meditate on? Krishna's form, his qualities, his lila, and sevade. and then do seva. So here is such a significant verse. It's saying that the Vaidhi Sadhaka should do Manasi Seva on the form of Krishna, Manasi Seva on the qualities of Krishna, and Manasi Seva on the Leelas of Krishna. This is the Vaidhi Sadhaka. But if you have another agenda, or if you have another mission, then you'll sidelight these things, or cover these things, or you won't highlight these things. And if someone mentions, oh no, that's not bhakti, that's not devotional service, that's all they do, Radhak and Babaji's do that. Imagine if everyone was taught, oh, Guru Maharaj, you're talking about the 64 lines of devotion. One of the 64 is paricharya. Paricharya means parachari, to move in all directions. Paricharya, to go here and go there and go there and travel to Sankirtan, all these things. That's very good, that's devotional service. So also sitting home and doing nothing is devotional service. Oh, you're a big devotee. You're a traveling Sankirtan devotee, you're a big devotee. Why are you a big devotee? I'm sitting in my house with my wife, meditating all day. I know a couple in Vrindavan. They sleep all day. They sleep 6-7 hours a day. Maybe 8, I don't know. Didn't ask. And all night long, they both stay up. They chant 3 lakhs a day. And do Leela Smaran. And they're initiated by an ISKCON guru. So what high jivas these are. They're married. No kids, and they don't want. They're both about 35 or so, 10 years married. I don't know hardly any Babaji's doing such. All the Ratri Leela, all through the Shayan Leela, Pradosh Leela, Ratri Leela, Nisha Leela, Nishant Leela, they're up. 3 lakhs a day, every single day. And you see them, they're in bliss. Their eyes are sparkling. They grace me with their darshan sometimes. I say, what are you coming here to ask a question? No, we just want to hear from you. I say, well, hear what? You're coming to bless me with your darshan. How many lifetimes will I have to pass to come to this level of bhakti? And they're both professional people. Somehow their fortune is they can retire. They have their own flat. They have money coming. So we're living in this Brajadam with these type of people. That's why it's such a powerful place to live. Even if you're not doing much, people around you are doing a whole lot. Imagine you're living in an apartment house with those people. Because it says when someone's doing bhajan, within 10 kilometers of the area becomes pavitram. If they're worshipping a shalagram, or Giriraj or whatever, especially it says in Puranas, doing puja of shalagram, 10 kilometers from that shalagram become a holy tirtha. What to speak about pavitram and purifying people by doing bhajan. So this is very interesting points to remember that smaranam and dhyanam is part of Vaidhi sadhana. So then he explains, because first he says you should remember the form. So he gives an example, meditating on the Lord's beauty. Then he gives an example, meditating on the Lord's qualities. Then meditating, guna smaranam. Then it's sarva madhurya samarani sarva bhutaya maniyana. Hayuchani valitani. It's meditation on the Lord's sports and pastimes. So because first he lists the principle, 46 principle, then he gives subsequent. He gives more explanation about this than any others. 3 or 4 pages. First he says you should do dhyanam. What should you meditate on? Krishna's rupam, Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, and fourth thing, in your mind you should do seva. So these are 4 subcategories of one principle of devotion called dhyanam, number 46 out of 64. So when he gets to Manasi Seva, so sadhakas, Vaishnava sadhakas are supposed to be Manasi Seva. So, what's that? Manasi Seva? What are you talking about? This is, you have Nectar Devotion? Yeah, I read Nectar Devotion. I didn't see that. That's a summary. If you read the Sanskrit and then all the tikkas, what to speak of the long, long tikkas. So when he gets to the final one, he says, Seva Dhyanam. Seva Dhyanam, to meditate on the Seva. So then he explains from Puranas. Manasa upacharena paricharya harim sada. Pare van manasa gamyam tam sakshat pratipedire. Constantly serving the Lord within the mind, with items produced in the mind. Some devotees have directly attained the Lord, who is not approachable for others by words or mind. That's what it says, van manasa. Pare van manasa gamyam tam sakshat. In other words, they've directly attained the Lord. Van means words, manasa means mind. Others means others. Others that are speaking so much and even thinking so, or just by the mind. Here is doing seva in the mind. Manasa upachar paricharya. Remember, paricharya means rendering service. Oh, I'm doing paricharya, I'm preaching, I'm doing puja, so many things. That's paricharya. I'm also doing paricharya. You're doing sharira paricharya with your body. You're running here and there, going and traveling sangharta, going and distributing books. I'm doing manasa paricharya. Huh? Manasa paricharya? I never even knew what the word paricharya, I never heard the word paricharya before until I heard this tape. The paricharya means external services with the body, practical things. Load the sangharta truck, go to the airport, pick up the sannyasi at the airport, this, that, the other thing. All this, all say, this is all devotional service. It's all bhakti. It's very good. It's one limb of devotion. But here Rupa Goswami says, manasa paricharya. So everything, if you're in a preaching mission, everyone is doing sharir paricharya. If you're in the ragmarg, everyone's doing paricharya also. Oh, when you don't do any service, you just sit around all day. I do manasa paricharya. You do deha paricharya or sharir. Sharir means body. It's so wonderful when you have the Sanskrit and then what to speak of Jiva Goswami's commentaries, and then here also as Mukunda Das Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj's disciple. Manasa upachara. Upachara means items, like we sodash upachara, pancha upachara. You worship Thakurji with 5 items or 10 items or 16 items. So here it's the mind. Items in your mind, and what's the classic example that we have? That example is in Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada mentions there was a South Indian Brahmin cooking the sweet rice in his mind. Upachara. This is manas upachara. So he was following this principle. So he's the example, and that example is here in the commentary of Jiva Goswami. It's actually Jiva Goswami is providing that from the Puranas and Prabhupada's summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu called Nectar of Devotion. He doesn't cite all these different commentaries. He has it all, just the story is there, which proves the point of the efficacy and power, astounding power, of simply worshiping the Lord in the mind. I have no money. I'm meditating, offering some really nice kheer. Oh, it seems I want to offer it to the Lord. It's ready. I want to put it in a little bowl and offer it to Thakurji, Krishna, and the Kunja, or in my Thakurji Murti, or wherever. Oh, I think it's too hot. And then the tip of your finger, if you touch it with your fingernail, it's contaminated. But just the tip of your finger, you can touch, it's not contaminated. So then he wants to see, was it too hot to offer to Thakurji? First he takes a little spoon, because he doesn't put in the whole thing. He puts the spoon in the manasi. He puts a manasic spoon inside the manasic sweet rice, and he takes it to the side, and he puts his finger. He doesn't just, let me see. Then your finger, you don't want to touch your finger. So you just, like you can judge the whole pot of rice by taking one grain. You take one grain of rice, if it's hard, it's not cooked. So you take a little spoon, go to the side by the sink in the kitchen, whatever, touch. Oh, it's too hot. So then what do? You pour it in a bowl, and then you have the hot sweet rice in a bowl, then you get a larger bowl which has cold water in it, very cold water. And you put it there, and you wait some time, and the heat dissipates. So the hot dal or the hot sabji, whatever you're offering dal to the Lord, you don't say, "Okay, I cooked the dal. I'm gonna make an offering really quick. Here you go." If you give boiling dal to the Lord, then you're burning Radharani's tongue. If you give boiling dal to the Lord, you're burning Radharani's tongue, because Krishna's tongue is Radharani's tongue. Krishna's heart is Radharani's heart. So that's why, unless you have a very high conception of personality, one should not worship the personal form of the Lord. So that's why it's not, oh, go get deities. No, go get devotional consciousness first. Realize, if you realize, because I've often inquired about people that want to get deities, and I did a quiz examination. If this circumstance happens, what will you do? Oh, we'll do this. And I ask a series of questions. And by gauging their answers, I can understand that they don't understand. They don't realize that Krishna is a person just like their five-year-old baby or just like their husband. Until they have that consciousness that this is our family member, Thakurji is our family member, and I treat him just like I treat myself. Can you drink boiling dal? No. So how can you offer to Thakurji? So until we have a loving personal conception in our mind and heart, we should not take the Thakurji or puja.
Krishna can even eat by only looking at it. Yeah.
Yes. And you can, yeah, so if you want to offer Krishna food, you can offer Krishna food in your mind also. We just heard. You can offer Krishna a whole meal in a mind, and then you have to take the remnants in your mind. So when you offer Krishna in your mind, and then you take the remnants in your mind, but then you'll die. Krishna won't die. He'll become very healthy and fat by your mental offerings. So similarly, Krishna can... Angani yasya sakalendriya vittimati. Krishna can eat with his eyes, he can eat with his ears. When you ring the bell, he knows, oh, it's dinner bell. Ding, 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 it's the dinner bell. Okay, I'm eating. Fine. But still, he can do all those things. That's to prove that he's God. But we don't worship Krishna as God. We worship God as our friend. We, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worship God as Mora Putra, Mora Saka, Mora Pranapati. This is in the teachings of, it's either Adi 4 or Module 8 of Ramananda Roy. He says, Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my son, Mora Pucha, Mora Saka, Mora Pranapati. Krishna's my son, I'm Mother Yashoda. I don't know he's God, is that? You just, you know, don't tell me. Hey, Lala, sit down. I'm going to beat you with a stick. You're a bit misbehaving. I'm tying you up. You bad boy, I'm tying you up. Put you in the corner. Nobody's Bhagavan. Get lost. I don't want to hear this. Mora Putra, Mora Saka. He's my friend. I'm a big man. You're not a big man. So in Gaudiya conception and bhakti, in the Rag Bhakti, Krishna, God, Krishna is not God. Krishna is equal to me or inferior to me. My Mother Yashoda is thinking he's inferior to me. If I don't feed him, he'll die. Come home and eat your lunch. Why are you playing? He's God. He doesn't have to eat. He can eat with his eyes. But Mother Yashoda is not saying, oh, eat with your eyes. She's saying, come home and eat. Sit down here and eat. So this is the devotee's conception. That's a fact. That's the Aishvarya Vichar, the opulence, the grandeur, the power, the unlimited power. God is omnipotent, omnipresent. But we don't see him like that, and that's not devotional, that's not bhakti. So you're right, but still, can I eat boiling sweet rice? No. If I can't eat, he can't eat. Subal takes the rasgulla. His mother made very nice rasgulla, some very beautiful cow's milk, very sweet. Oh, very nice rasgulla. Oh, And he's biting it, and some juice, when he bites it, comes out of his mouth and hits Krishna's cheek. He goes, Krishna goes, oh, that's nice. And then he just reaches over, and half, it's a big rasgulla, you know, like Rajabhog. Half of it's in Subal's mouth, and half is in his hand. And Krishna just takes it right out of his hand and mouth and eats it. That's the Krishna we worship.
I worship very much my lover.
Not
my
So these are some points about the passive forms of bhakti and the active forms of bhakti.